Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
It does not say disobey and then trust. It says trust and obey. My wife called me into the living room last night. I was back in my little office trying to be spiritual. And she said, "You got to come and see this." And I asked her to record it for me. Joel Osteen was on Dr. Oz. That's all right. It's funny. It was funny until I started hearing him talk. And let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz is a New Ager. Okay? Let me explain what that means in case you don't understand what that means. I'll explain it biblically. We're going to be in the book of Acts when I get to it. But let's go to 2 Thessalonians 11. 2 Thessalonians 11. I need one more cup of coffee this morning. I don't know what it is about rainy, cold days. It just makes you sleep hard, man. I mean, I slept hard. That clock went off this morning. I could have kept on going. I was in fourth gear, in overdrive. Let me briefly explain, if you've heard about the New Age, let me briefly explain to you what that is. The New Age movement teaches that there is coming an age of enlightenment to planet Earth. But this enlightenment is going to be helped by certain beings, okay, that are going to come down to us from the from space. And some people on this planet are in contact with these people right now. Now, that's the New Age language. The Bible language is that these are devils and familiar spirits that they're in contact with. That's the Bible language. That's something you can understand. Amen? Something you can sink your teeth into. And you got to be careful about all these New Age terms and things. That's why I'm getting where I like to use just Bible language and Bible terms and Bible verses and when I talk and explain things. But anyway, there's going to be helped by these extraterrestrial beings or these enlightened beings. They're going to come down and they're going to bring us into a new age of peace and harmony, and everybody's going to be nice to one another, and everything's going to be okay, and there's not going to be any more poverty and no more war, and you know, everybody's going to sit around and really enjoy the marijuana that they're growing. That's part of it, okay? By the way, can I throw this in? The medical marijuana deal in California is a joke. I don't know if you knew. I knew it before they voted it in, but I'm telling you right now, it's a big joke, okay? It is the most corrupt, abused deal. Okay, people are showing, I got backache. If you can find a doctor that'll sign off on a card for you to go buy pot in California, you just pay him enough money. And I think they knew that. I think that's exactly what they knew. But anyway, the New Age movement says that at some point there's going to come a day when all this is going to happen. It's all going to break loose and everybody's going to change and we're all going to be happy. Let me tell you what that really is. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. And I'm telling you, there's a flood coming. Okay? There is another flood coming. It's not water. But does anybody know what the symbol of the New Age movement is? It's Aquarius. And Aquarius is a spirit that pours out water. Okay? That's the flood that's told about in the scriptures. There's a flood of ungodliness coming in the last days. Flood of iniquity. It's facilitated in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And I watched that little deal last night with Joel Osteen on Dr. Oz, and I'll explain the connection between these two here in a minute. But Joel was bragging about all these people, and they had interviewed some of them who've been miraculously healed. Okay? Been miraculously healed, had big miracles. And that's really the supposed push of his ministry, is that all these miracles are taking place, and he's going, see, what I'm doing is right. That's not how it is. If you go around looking for miracles as your proof for whether or not you're going to believe something or not, Jesus called you a wicked and adulterous generation. You're always seeking after a sign and after a miracle. I'm going to tell you what a miracle is. A miracle is to take an old rat bag, dirty, filthy, rotten sinner. Amen. And for God to change his mind that he doesn't want to do that stuff anymore. He wants to go to heaven instead of hell. That's a miracle. Amen. And if that's the only one I get in this life, that's enough for me. But anyway, Satan is going to use lying signs and wonders. They're going to take place, but they're going to lead people astray. This is what we're seeing an increase of. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. You know what the truth is? That means they don't love the Bible. Jesus said in John 17, thy word is truth. He didn't say thy word is a truth. He said thy word is truth. The New Age movement does not care what religious cloak you put on yourself. In fact, the New Age movement brags that it embraces all religions and all denominations and all ideas and philosophy. You don't even have to believe in God. And I'll tell you this, did you know that you don't have to believe in Satan to be a Satan worshiper? In fact, it's better off that, as far as Satan's concerned, it's better off that you don't even believe in him. Most witches will tell you that they don't believe in Satan. They don't believe in this. They don't believe in that stuff. They don't use devils. That they're just using the natural healing powers that are in the earth. That's a lie. And so anyway, they receive not the love of the truth. People don't love the Bible anymore. The Bible is a cast out. It started becoming a castaway in churches. Then we see it become a cast out in the schools and then in the branches of government. And now it's a castaway in just about every area of life. They do not love the truth. And if you don't love the Bible, there's something wrong with you. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. See, that's how it is right there. Okay? And for this cause, here's verse 11 right here. Here's the big verse. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That is what the New Age movement is all about. It's about everybody that is not truly saved and born again that is going to believe a lie. They're going to believe something that's not true. And that lie, as far as what I can see from the scriptures, that lie is that they're worshiping a different Jesus, another Jesus. Okay? Not the one that this Bible talks about. And so Dr. Oz is a New Ager. And he practices and endorses New Age practices. One of them is called Reiki. It's spelled R-E-I-K-I, but it's pronounced Reiki. Reiki has a lot to do with, and I want to caution you, those of you who go to chiropractors, be careful about some chiropractors, not all of them, okay? But be careful about some chiropractors. Some chiropractors, and I would say even some doctors, are probably using New Age techniques on you without telling you that they're doing it. And I wouldn't let them touch me. Okay? Reiki teaches that you inside of your body you have all these energies. And I've even had people, before I had shoulder surgery, I had some people, and they were well-meaning people. It was at a conference I was doing. And they came up to me, and I'd said something about going to have my shoulder operated. Oh, Pastor, don't let them cut on you. Here, if you eat this and this and this three times a day, and you swallow this once a day, and then you mix this up and drink it, and you do all this and this and that and the other, that's going to release the natural healing energies that are in your body. And I was just very nice about it, but I responded to them, and I said, I have not seen anything in the Bible that tells me that I have natural healing energies inside of my body. That somehow, some way, me eating McDonald's french fries is inhibiting that. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that eating McDonald's french fries is the most healthy thing in the world to do. Okay? But that's not why my shoulder hurts. Okay? And I'm just, Ray K says that you have all this untapped, sealed up healing inside of you. It's already there. You just need to tap into it. And Reiki involves practices like pressure points, and I don't know exactly how it all works. But they'll explain to you, oh, we're just releasing the natural healing energies you have inside of you. Can I tell you what Paul said was inside of me? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 said, in me, that is in my flesh, there is no good thing. And I trust the Bible before I trust anybody else. And if the Apostle Paul says that in me there's no good thing, I'm not about to release it. Amen. I don't want that. I do not want that let out. Somebody say amen. Okay. I'm telling you what. There's a big old tiger, lion, inside of me, and it ain't good. I'm not about to let him out. But anyway, that's the New Age movement, and that's Dr. Oz. Okay. Rick Warren put out a deal last year, okay, big, big, big thing all over the world, and focused there on his church there in Orange, California, and he included, it was some sort of health deal. Let's make everybody healthy, and he included Dr. Oz as part of his program. A man who practices and endorses and teaches New Age techniques. Dr. Oz has done this on his television program. He's endorsed Reiki as something everybody needs to get involved in, everybody needs to do. Rick Warren endorses him, puts him on the program with him, and then has to, when people start complaining, he writes letters and says, I'm not part of the New Age. I don't endorse that. You know, he just spins it off as, like he's some fundamentalist Christian, and he's not. Joel Osteen is practically of the same breed. Okay? Osteen's thought and philosophy and idea is that God is bound up and inhibited from really working in you and healing you. The Word Faith Doctrine and the Charismatic Movement teaches that God is in handcuffs. He's in chains. He's locked up. And he cannot do anything unless you release him to do it. And if you don't believe me, and I really don't encourage you to do this, but if you'll listen a few times to guys like Creflo Dollar Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers, if you'll listen to some of them, you'll listen to Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and any of these other ones, Jesse Duplantis, you'll hear them talk about releasing things. You need to release this. You need to release this. You'll hear them talk about activating things, activating and releasing. That's some of the words that they're using. Joel Osteen teaches in his, and really when it started, when the program started out last time watching this, I went from being spiritual to being mad, because I could recognize the witchcraft that's coming out of his mouth. I recognize and I know what it is. I know how he talks and I know what it sounds like. And I'm recognizing the witchcraft. Okay? And I'm going to be dead, gun barrel straight with you. After being mad at him and watching him sit on that talk show with his smooth words and that smiling face of his, for a minute, I was almost sucked in. It's not like I'm going, oh, Joel Osteen's great. But I can see what people see in him. He's very good at what he does. Okay? And to be honest with you, we all want somebody to smooth talk us, don't we? And that's what he is, okay? That he is a smooth talker. Something you need to be aware of that's in the scriptures, in the book of Proverbs, concerning the strange woman, the harlot. Her words are smoother than oil. Her lips is what it says. Her lips are smoother than oil. You know what? You know what that means? She really knows how to talk to you. Okay? She really knows how to talk to you. And so I went from being mad to nearly impressed with the way that he handles himself, the way he talks, the way he does things, and I get it. I get it. Okay? But he is in collaboration with a new ager. Okay? You're not supposed to do that. Did they need anybody's help when they were rebuilding that wall around Jerusalem, when they were repairing all the breaches? Go read Ezra and Nehemiah. They were offered help from the enemies of God to help rebuild that wall. You know what they told them? Number one, we don't need your help. Number two, this is our wall, not yours. And even when they came to him and said, well, we worship God just like you do. No, you don't. This is our wall. We'll build it. We'll handle it. We don't need your help. And I just want to stress to you this morning, you don't need the help of the world. Amen? You don't need help of the world. You need help. You need help from God. Did you know that without that help, they went ahead and built that wall anyway? With one hand. One hand. You know what that means? You go read it. They had a brick in one hand. They had a sword in the other. They were just laying bricks upon that wall with a sword in their hand. They were ready. They were ready to defend their wives and their children inside that city at all cost. And they said, hurry, boys, we got to build this wall back because this is going to be our protection. Let me tell you what the wall is in your life. It's this Bible. It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says walls are salvation. Walls are salvation. And so anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. I went from being real spiritual last night to being mad. And when I got up and walked away from him, I sat back down with my Bible at my desk and tried to get my thoughts back the way they were, and I'm going, so I don't know how I'm going to preach this morning, but anyway. Take a Bible turn to the book of Acts. And let me tell you what kind of trap that is, okay? Let me tell you what kind of trap it is. Acts chapter 21, and we're going to dovetail what I just said into the teaching this morning. I don't know if it's been a while since I told this story, but God has over the years helped me see things, and I don't know if the guy that told me this, I don't know if it was a private conversation or not, and I haven't seen him in years, but out of respect to him, I'm not going to say who it was. But I had become friends, or you know, somewhat of an acquaintance with a guy that worked for a charismatic ministry in this area. Okay, and he not only worked for them; he was like a radio announcer for them on the payroll. And he sat down with me one time. We were eating lunch. And he said, I think God's doing something in me. I said, well, great, you know. And he said, I think I'm done with the whole charismatic movement. I mean, the whole movement, not just this one ministry, but the whole movement. I said, really? He said, I want to tell you a story. He said, I know the guy. He said, we went to church together, and he said, he started coming in that church, and he said, every time doors was open, he was there. In fact, he was part of the time, he was one opening the doors. And he said everything he was asked to do, he did. We'd have big evangelists come in. He would donate large sums of his own money to them. And every time the preacher said do this, he did it. Every time the preacher said do that, he did it. He said, so, you know, and there, he had his own business, and he was really doing well. You know, just climbing the financial ladder, and had a wife and some kids, a nice house, and just had everything in the world going for him, and he attributed it to what he was being taught. That he did this and it honored God, and God was paying him back. And he said all of a sudden he got sick. And the sickness really drove him down so much that he lost his business, couldn't run his business anymore. And then his wife and kids left him, lost his house, lost everything. His wife and kids didn't mind him being rich. If he wasn't rich no more, she wasn't hanging around. So she left, took his kids, took his house, took everything that the man had. So he goes in to the pastor of the big, charismatic, laughing revival, Holy Ghost-filled church, goes into the pastor, sits down with the pastor and says, I don't understand. I've done everything that you said to do, and I've lost everything. I don't understand. The pastor looked at him with his charismatic word faith ideology and said, obviously you're not doing something that's pleasing the Lord. And this is why God's not going to make you rich like you were. The man walked out of that office and he told this friend of mine, he said, I'll keep going to church, but it'll not be that one or anything like it. And he said, as far as me doing what I used to do, he said, I'll not stop believing in God and Jesus Christ. He said, but I'm hanging that up. Yeah. And the guy told me, he said, it doesn't work. It's built up like it works, but it doesn't work. They'll tell you, and if it's not working, the only thing that they know how to tell you is, obviously, there's something you're not releasing and activating your faith the right way. Obviously, it's your fault. Can I tell you something? Everything that has befallen me is my fault, and I recognize that. I'm a product of my own stupidity, my own laziness, my own ignorance, my own wickedness. I'm a product of all those things. You get to a point in your life where you wake up and you recognize that it really is not anybody else's fault but your own. Can I get an amen out of somebody? You just wake up and you quit blaming the world and you quit blaming God and you quit and this and that and the other and you just say, you know what, it is my fault. And I could not, and this one thing God just really helped me with, I am all about free grace and free salvation. And when I use the word free, I mean that's free. Okay? I come across a deal the other day that T.D. Jakes has got a new big wing-ding teaching. Okay? I mean, it's big. It's the biggest thing he's ever come out with, and he'll tell you. And on his website, he advertises this big wing-ding, and you know what he's doing? He's using New Age ideas and terminologies in his teaching. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. You mark it down. You just write down in your Bible, Mike Hoggard said, T.D. Jakes is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he is. Okay? And so anyway, he's got this up on his website, and then they put it up there for your gift of $180. You can have all this. For your gift. Now I want to tell you something. That's not a gift. Okay? I have yet to pull in to McDonald's drive-thru and order a number two, just real simple, a couple cheeseburgers and fries and a Coke, and then pull up to the first window and the ladies say, now for your gift of $4.41, you can have this. Huh? McDonald's does not think it's a gift, what it is that I'm giving them. They don't call it that. Walmart does not call it a gift. When you pay for the stuff that you're trying to walk out with, McDonald's or Walmart does not say, now for your gift of, let's see here, $95.81, you can walk out of the store and we won't have you arrested for your gift. Okay? It's not a gift if you have to pay for it. Okay? God says salvation is free. For God so loved the world that he gave. He did not charge for it. He did not sell Jesus. Neither should we. Amen? For God did not say, now for your generous gift to my heavenly treasures of a thousand. And by the way, it had increments. For your gift of 50, and then 100, and then 180, and then below that was other. Okay? Now, it's all about marketing. Because it's taking you, you'll never go to the other and put less. It's 50, 100, 180. Oh, you want to give more? We'll do that. I bet you will. Okay? And the reason why I'm saying this is in Acts chapter 21, we're dealing with this issue of Paul. Paul had been warned by the those who had prophesied, said, Paul, you go to Jerusalem, it's going to come out bad for you. And Paul said, if I die there, I die there. I'm going to Jerusalem. So he gets to Jerusalem, and the guys say, now, Paul, they're hearing rumors about you, saying that you're telling the Jews they don't have to keep the law. And Paul said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll keep the law. And so Paul was dealing with this issue of the Nazarite vow, and he went in with the temple with these guys and took an oath. I think it was 7 days. Took a 7-day oath with them and did the vow with them for 7 days. Paul kept the law. Did you know that they were not satisfied with that? They were just, you know what it was? It was a setup. And we're fixing to get into some territory here with Paul. And I was kind of pondering this. And I can't remember if this was before or after the Dr. Oz deal with Joel Osteen. So I don't know what mood this comes out of, but I was pondering this, and I'm going, why are they after him so bad? The reason why they're after Paul so bad is that he's offering for free what everybody else is trying to make an attachment to. And that's always a threat. Some people have asked me the question, wow, boy, don't, you know, the New World Order people, aren't they after your church because you expose so many things and you do this and that and the other? And I always tell them, I said, look, I'm going to tell you why the devil doesn't like this church. It probably doesn't have anything to do with the fact that we're exposing this conspiracy or showing that conspiracy. It probably has everything to do with the fact that we believe in free grace and we preach it. Amen. And the devil does not like free grace. He always wants to hook you in on something else with it. That's kind of like saying that there's free money from the government. No, there's not. No, there isn't. George Bush was going around trying to sell this faith-based initiative deal where the government would put money into church bank accounts if churches did these little programs saying, you know, no strings attached. Then they started talking about school vouchers. And when we had a Christian school here, you people was asking me, are you going to take them school vouchers? Absolutely not. Well, why not? It's free money. No, it isn't. There is no such thing from the government as free money. Right. There's always a string attached somehow, some way. Do you think China's loaning us all this money out of the goodness of their heart? Yeah. Absolutely not. So anyway, I want to pick it up in verse 26 of Acts chapter 21. I don't want you to understand. I want you to get this in your mind what this is all about. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the temple, laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. I want you to notice why they're mad, what they're saying about Paul. This is a man that teacheth. You're more dangerous with your words than you are anything else. Okay? I want to unhook this train again for a minute. I'm beside myself with what's going on in this country. Last year, was it last year or year? No, it was the year before last. Barack Obama got elected and all of a sudden and started throwing money up to all these banks everywhere. And all of a sudden people started standing up and saying, that ain't right, as is our right to do. Yeah. I remember going to the Tea Party meeting up at Keener Plaza up there in St. Louis. Who was with me on that deal? Okay? That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? It was 8,000 to 10,000 people up there, okay, that from all different walks of life were up there holding signs and this, that, and the other, and hearing speeches saying, we need our government to back down. We want it to back down, okay? And they started having Tea Party meetings everywhere. And I've been there. They were all peaceful. There was nobody shooting people. There was no fisticuffs going on. There was, I mean, just nothing like that going on. And so the Department of Homeland Security decides to place anybody who went to a Tea Party meeting on a list, on a hot list, saying they could be terrorists. These people believe in having guns. These people voted for Ron Paul. These people believe that we ought to hold to the Constitution. They're all terrorists. So now the opposite end of the spectrum. All these New Age hippies showing up at the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy St. Louis and all these places, Occupy San Francisco, it's the opposite end of the spectrum. They're the extreme liberal. They show up, and you know when they had Tea Party meetings? About 6 o'clock at night. You know why? Because everybody that went there was at work from 9 to 5. You getting my drift? So they had these meetings after everybody got off work so they could make the meeting. These Occupy deals, you know what they did? They advertised it, you know, saying we're going to occupy Wall Street, bring a tent. And you had all these people showing up with tents and they were camping out. And that's what was going on up there at Keener Plaza. They had run all these people off because they just camped out up there. And when the cops went up there to move them, they said, that's our free speech. No, it isn't. You're a bum. You're a bum. You're living on land that doesn't belong to you. Get off. Okay? But anyway, so far in the Occupy movements, we know for a fact that they've been busted for massive drug abuse and drug sales. Okay? It's funny. The people who were protesting capitalism, which means this is mine and you can't have it. In one case, I think it was in San Francisco, a guy got shot because he wouldn't share his bag of marijuana. He was a marijuana capitalist. And he said, no, this is mine. I paid for it. I'm not sharing it. Bam! And they shot him. There was women raped. Children abused. I'm not even going to say how. Drugs. People shot. That somebody took a pot shot at the White House the other day. Guess where they came from? It was in the Occupy DC group. But they're not terrorists for some reason. I don't get it. It's a messed up country. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. I know that. Listen, there is a little bit of Bible in this, okay? Anyway, you're more dangerous for what you say than what you do. And we're going to be dangerous in this church, not because we're the best people in Jefferson County. They're going to be mad at us, Wayne, because of what we're saying. And they're going to be mad because of what I say, and they hear you say amen behind it.
Amen.
Okay? So, and what we say here is free grace. It's free. You don't have to belong to this church. You don't have to belong to a denomination. You don't have to belong to, you don't have to have it done inside the church building. You don't have to be baptized with our water, our sacred holy water. I'm a little facetious this morning, but I'm tired of people selling Jesus Christ or making you work for him. I'm tired of that. I hate it. It's a doctrine that I absolutely, absolutely hate. And these men, they see Paul in there with these guys in the temple, and they're going to try to have him killed is what they're going to do. You remember, Paul used to be on the other side of this deal. Paul would have had these people killed. He would have beat them. He would have had them arrested. And he tells all this in the next chapter. He tells exactly how he used to be in this deal. And Paul's come out of this saying, and here these same group of people who filled in Paul's gap after he left them, this same group of people now are going to, they're wanting to stir up the crowd against Paul because of what he teaches. What do they say he's teaching? Number one, He teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law. Now, Paul never really taught against the law, but what he teaches is that we're not saved by the works of the law.
Amen.
Okay? And I am absolutely 100% convinced that the reason why, and this is bears out through the whole New Testament, that the reason why God stepped off with the Israelites and went over to the Gentiles is that God wanted to show Israel that he'll save people without keeping the law. Okay? Whereas the Jew cannot handle that. The Jew, and I'll tell you some, I know some people who say they're Christians that cannot handle that either. And I don't care what form it comes in. I don't care if it comes in the form of what they call Messianic Christianity, which I'm not necessarily against as an idea. But I will say that in my experience, most of these Messianic so-called Christians have as their, they want to lure you in to the hook. And the hook is, you need to keep the law if you're going to stay saved. That is abomination to the New Testament of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is exactly what Paul wrote against in the book of Galatians. He spent 4, 5, 6 chapters in the book of Galatians telling those people, you got people in your church telling you have to keep the law to stay saved. He said, that's witchcraft. Get them out. I taught no such doctrine. Okay? So anyway, they're going to tell you that they make it sound nice on the outside, but on the inside, they're trying to hook you into the deal that if you're not keeping the law, if you're not keeping dietary restrictions, if you're not keeping Sabbath days, if you're not doing this and you're not doing that, obviously there's no way in the world that you're going to be saved. And they'll tell you that you're going to lose what God has done in you. They're telling you that you're going to lose that if you don't keep the law the way they tell you to do it. And I'll tell you, there is movement after movement after movement that is built upon that premise. And I'll tell you something, it's not just in the Messianic community either. It's in the fundamentalist movement too. They'll tell you that if your hair is not combed right, and they'll tell you that if you don't wear a dress, ladies, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and if you have a television in your house, and if you do this and you do that, obviously there's no way in the world that you're saved. And I want to tell you something. I think a man ought to look like a man and comb his hair. I think it's right. I think, amen. Look at here. I don't care if you just have to do it with a rag or your hand or whatever. Amen. I mean, make it look at, don't look like you just crawled out of bed and hair sticking out all over the place. Amen. I think ladies ought to look feminine. That is biblical. A woman ought to look like a woman and a man ought to look like a man. I can take you to the scriptures and show you that. I think you ought to dress modest. I think your clothes ought not reveal and highlight the form that God has given you. Listen, and you know what? You know why I like to wear a jacket so much? It's because of this right here. I don't like this. Okay? But I'm just too helpless to do a whole lot about it. Amen? Okay? But I'm just telling you, when you get right with God, God starts covering you up. God starts doing things in you, and God starts cleaning you up and you just have a new nature about you that just wants to be clean and decent with folks. I believe in that. Now all of a sudden you listen to a song on the radio, you're going, you know what? And the Holy Ghost is saying, that's not right, that's not right. And I don't have to preach it into you. You say, you know what, I want to turn that off. I don't like that stuff. I used to like that. I can't believe I used to listen to that garbage. That's what happens in a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. I don't have to enforce the rules on you in order for that to happen. But amen. But I will tell you that there are fundamentalist groups out there that will enforce these rules upon you and say, if you're not keeping what we tell you to keep and doing what we tell you to do, you're not saved. That is not the Pope's place. It is not Jack Hyle's place. And I don't have anything, I guess, against Jack. I don't know. I don't know that much about him. That is not anybody's place but the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is our judge. And I'm telling you that God means to instill in the New Testament church the idea that we were saved by grace through faith and not by works, and will be kept by grace through faith. You know what the deal is? Who believes? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? And will you keep believing the Bible? That's it right there. And so they're teaching him that he's teaching against the law and this place. Well, that's interesting. Because about this time that they're doing this. See, Paul's in the temple right now. About this time, I don't know exactly what year. Does your Bible have kind of a year of this? Usually at the top of the chapter, your Bible might kind of tell you what year this might be. Anybody? It's probably somewhere around AD 50, AD 60, somewhere around it. Did you know that within 10 years, this temple is going to be completely gone? Yeah. Boom! It's no longer there. It's not there to this day. You see, the Jews worshipped a building. Now, I'll be honest with you. I love this building. It's home. You know how we get used to home. Amen. I love that this is home. I got my little nook of it. All, you know, you got it how I like it. You know how we are. Amen, Wayne? When you go to Wayne's house, Wayne say, now sit down. No, not there. That's my chair. Okay? I'm not saying. But did the bell ring? I'm having so much fun. But I'm just telling you, here it is. They're going, oh, the holy temple, how dare he? And within 10 years' time, this temple was going to be burning down to the ground, nothing left of it. And Paul wasn't honoring that temple. He writes in 1 Corinthians about this one. Okay? And they can't handle that. Because while the Jewish religious system might have had control over that temple, they didn't have control and ownership over this one. You see how? See what it's about? And they can't handle that. They can't handle it. They can't handle the fact that grace, that salvation is by grace and it's free, and they can't control it. And they don't like that. Heavenly Father, Lord Father, I hope, dear God, and I pray, Lord Father, that you'd put grace into my words this morning. Father God, Lord, that they'd be a blessing and not a hindrance to anybody's faith. Lord Father, I do not want to be an offense to anybody for any reason. But Father, Lord God, I have to tell what this Bible says. And Lord, I just want to be faithful in that. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you'd minister to the hearts of people, dear God, whoever's listening, whoever's watching, whoever's sitting here, God, that grace is free. And Father, we'll stand for that as a church. I'll stand for it as a preacher, God. And thank you for that, God, Lord, because I would have bought it and paid for it, dear God, and lost it had it not been free. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy on us. We praise you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven, that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.